broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ground zero is hallowed ground. Two blocks away, first of all, is not.
I think it speaks to the worst in terms of politics.
At some point, it appears to be so frustrating. The mom may have yelled.
On one hand, he was the perfect medical student. Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Ball tap.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass every night here of news talk, reality, and beyond. In its 20th year of doing the kind of radio nobody else has still been able to figure out how to do. That's us, Phil Hendry show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up tonight, in our first hour, we're going to talk about this flight attendant that took away a baby from a mother who was slapping the baby on a Southwest Airlines flight. Did you see that? The mother was slapping this baby across the face, and the flight attendant on Southwest, she took the baby, and the people are applauding this act and the air marshal that was there. In fact, we're going to hear his comments in a moment. Later on, we have Brass Villanueva from Los Malos, a Latino male empowerment organization, I think is the actual purpose of this group. But he's going to be talking about Ground Zero, the mosque at Ground Zero. But first, our number, 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget our affiliate Spotlight. Tonight, we're very happy to talk to you about San Diego's KFMB. They're with us. They've been with us a long time, 760 AM. And in Reno, Nevada, KBZZ, 1270 AM. And PhilHendryShow.com for downloadable archive shows, downloadable news shows. We've got three separate podcasts available through iTunes and other places like that. You can watch right now a live streaming video of our show. You can watch a live streaming video and listen to the audio as well of our show right now. Man, we are like interactive, multimedia, all over the planet. Just, it's amazing. And looking at me on TV or looking at me on a camera, well, that's worth the price of admission just to see if you can get through the first half hour with my kisser and the stuff you're about to witness if you haven't seen it before and you're watching right now. So go to PhilHendryShow.com. All right, we're going to get Margaret Gray on the line to talk about this because she is doing a column on this in her newspaper, The Syndicate, actually, the Dicklin Syndicate. Tomorrow morning, her column is called A Little Bird Told Me. And, Margaret, before we talk to you, I've got some audio. Have you heard this?
Yes, I did hear the air marshal, Phil, and I'm going to be very interested in hearing tomorrow or the next day what their explanation is, because I don't think that the explanation that they've given is going to ring very true with a lot of money.
All right. Well, first off, here is the airport chief, police chief, Marshal Katz. So he's not really an air marshal. I think I said he was an air marshal because I got faked out by his name. How about that? Actually, his name is Marshal Katz. He's the chief of the airport police there in wherever this was, man. If this was at Burbank. No, it was in Albuquerque International Airport. And he talks about the fact that he supports the flight attendant's decision in this incident.
At some point, it appears to be so frustrating. The mom may have yelled and may have even slapped the baby. It was a solid move on the part of the flight attendant to take custody of the child. It neutralized the situation. It calmed everybody down.
All right, now, Margaret, what the situation that he's describing was the following thing. This baby was being slapped across the face by its mother as the mother was attempting to get the baby to stop crying. Now, when the plane landed in Albuquerque, the family was met by police. A Southwest Airlines spokeswoman told ABC that the local authorities were called out of precaution for the child. So there was an abundance of concern on the part of Southwest, the flight attendant, the officials on board. According to a report from Albuquerque police, the parents were trying to get their 13-month-old daughter to stop crying when the flight attendant, Beverly McCurley, intervened. She informed me several passengers had reported that a female subject traveling with a baby and her husband had been observed striking the child on the face in an attempt to get the child to stop crying.
Well, you know, Phil, this is a very interesting, and it's one of the wonderful things about writing a newspaper column, although I don't really, I'm not a big fan of writing columns like this, because I'm a mother. I've had a baby. I've raised a son to adolescence. There are a lot of mothers listening right now. I don't know how many are listening right now that have had babies and have traveled with them. And that is key, because if you've traveled by way of air with your newborn, you are a woman who right away knows. You've got a lot of people around you, and this is a post 9/11 world that we live in, so you've got an awful lot of people trying to sleep. You've got an awful lot of people who are ready to go to another flight attendant or to someone else on the plane and say that I am being disturbed by this child. You're very self-conscious, Phil, when you're traveling with a baby. You know that the child is keeping people awake. And it's one of those times, and I have to tell you, I used to tell Frank this when I was traveling, and we had Jason Jay with us. It was one of those times when you'd say, you know, I almost wish I hadn't had this baby, or I wish I could just, have left him at the airport or something, because you immediately become far more appreciative of the feelings of others when you're in that situation.
Well, you're appreciative of the feelings of others. Your baby's in distress, right?
No, the baby's not in distress. The baby is going through these normal biorhythmic or biological or biochemical changes that happen to all of us when we are flying. But it's an infant, and the infant doesn't know what's happening to itself. So you're balancing between the needs of an infant that you know are not that serious, between those needs and the needs of the passengers around you who are looking at you. They are not getting rest. They're getting more and more perturbed. In this post 9/11 world that we fly in, Phil, you could have one or two of them ready to go to the main flight attendant and reporting a disturbance. That's something that is going to force a situation in the aircraft. I don't know, in some serious instances, the pilot can decide to put the plane down and have you put off. You don't want that.
Well, if you've got a baby that's crying, and I imagine that this is something that is very common, I've flown a lot. I've heard babies crying.
That is exactly my point. You've heard babies crying and you haven't enjoyed it, have you?
Well, no, it's not that I haven't enjoyed it. I haven't enjoyed it, and it's loud. But I didn't know that it was such a disturbance that they could put you off the aircraft.
After 9/11, yes. After 9/11.
After 9/11.
If you're traveling with an infant that you cannot control, the pilot and the flight crew do have the option of putting the craft down at the nearest most available location and literally putting you off the airplane. That's what that woman was fearing. And so I think that what we need to do here, Phil, is get beyond the headline and get beyond the all of the, I don't know, hypersensitivity, I think, for this infant and for this flight attendant. Because we all know what happens when you are overly sensitive to a flight attendant. Look at this Stephen Slater.
You know, well, that was Stephen Slater. What, you mean the guy that ran off the plane?
Right. We first thought that he was a big hero, and now we realize that he might have been a part of the problem and was most likely, or at least in the words of some people, he could very well have been under the influence of alcohol or pills. What was this flight attendant thinking when she went over to a woman that was doing what mothers do? And again, this is something else I want to stress. When you have an infant that is not going to sleep, when you have an infant that is making these kinds of noises, you're going to find yourself, and it's a very natural thing to do, to try and get that baby to be quiet. And so, yes, your hand goes across the face. You're not hitting the child all that hard.
But you are slapping the baby. You're saying that this is a normal reaction that a mother's going to have.
This is a very normal reaction. I'm talking about slapping the baby about, and I don't know if you can hear this. I'm slapping my own thigh, Phil. It doesn't hurt. It's about as hard as you would slap them on the bum or something like that. It's not hurting them. It's slapping the child hard enough so that the eyes open a little bit, because babies will be crying, and when they're crying, their eyes are closed. You need to slap the face hard enough so that the eyes open And there is a look on the baby's face like, what did you just do? There's a look of surprise. So that gets the child's attention.
Well, what about in the instance of this family where the woman kept slapping and slapping and slapping, and it wasn't getting the baby to quiet down? Don't you think the flight attendant should then intercede?
No, what was wrong there was the husband was interceding. What they needed to do, and I think if there had been any other mothers on that plane who'd been used to traveling with infants while on business and flying, they needed to let that mother just get that situation under control. Sometimes it will take two or three or four, and sometimes you have to do what is called, it's the Daigle repetition. And Dr. Daigle was a pediatrician who talked about the repetition of this contact. And to do that, and to do it in such a way so you're not harming the child, but you are getting the child to quiet down.
What is it? It's called the Daigle repetition, right?
Mark Daigle was a pediatrician who was tremendous, and a lot of women are familiar with his work. The repetition is simply to strike the child's face in a fanning motion until the child begins to quiet down. And for a flight attendant to intercede to remove that child from that woman's lap, I honestly don't know how that woman kept her cool. I have to be honest with you, I would not have been. I would not have been that calm.
All right, Margaret Gray has joined us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the flight attendant for Southwest Airlines that took this child from its mother. The mother had been slapping this baby on the face, and she was slapping the baby on the face because the baby just would not quiet down. 877-876-PHIL. Now, you're talking about a mother who is frightened, so you're taking the side of this mother, you know.
Well, Phil, it's interesting. People are going to say, well, you're taking the side of a woman that was abusing a child. No, she was not, Phil. Every woman knows that there is traveling with a child while you're flying. There certainly are moments when you're going to use some kind of a corporal attitude. It's not punishment. You don't punish a child that small. But what you do is you create a relationship that says essentially this: I need for this child to quiet down. I'm going to have to use some kind of a pain therapy to do that. If I see a flight attendant or another passenger try to stop me from doing that, all you're doing is making the situation worse. And so that when that mother got back on another plane, there's no question that she continued slapping that child, only much harder. And we don't need that film. The intercession is what we're against.
All right. I don't know anything about this.
Well, I know you don't. You need to do a lot of men.
No, I understand that. And I didn't know that slapping the face of a baby, and since it's not corporal punishment, it's more a therapy to get a crying baby to be quiet. We're talking about two different things here, at least. Margaret Gray has joined us. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Southwest Airlines taking this infant from its mother as she was slapping the infant's face and apparently not understanding that this is a technique used by a lot of mothers that travel with babies, that do travel with infants, to get the child to be quiet so that at post 9/11 she's not going to be put off the aircraft. Southwest didn't understand this, took the baby away from this mother, and that was the situation. Margaret Gray with us, and she has traveled with her son, and she says that there is a pediatric technique whereby you do kind of slap the child's face a number of times until you get its attention, and then it quiets down. And the airline attendant interfered with this. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Coming up next hour, Brass, Phil, and Aweva talking about the Ground Zero Mosque. But more ahead with Margaret Gray. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just love your show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Bill Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray from the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me, joining us here. 877-876-PHIL. Your column not too long ago, you talked about And I didn't agree with it. I don't know if I still do, but I thought it was a very interesting point of view. You said that flight attendants, that airlines, that they all have what you call, they've got a hero complex after 9/11.
Absolutely.
What? How does that apply here?
It applies here, Phil, simply because there's a mother traveling. She is with her baby. The baby is crying. She's trying to get it to stop crying. There are travelers that are trying to sleep. There are people that are being irritated. You know that if the baby causes too much of a commotion, it could very well put you, your baby, and your husband off the plane because of some kind of a disturbance. These flight attendants will walk over while you are attempting this modification that we're talking about, which is simply slapping the child's face. And, Phil, there is a behavioral hue. And what I mean by that is this. A baby's face is going to turn red if you slap the cheeks. You don't want to slap the child so hard, obviously, that the face has turned a deep red. But there is a behavioral hue that Dr. Daigle speaks of. You slap the face of the child if you have the book with you, if you have the chart with you. You compare the behavioral hue in the chart to the color of the child's cheek. And when it gets to that redness, you know that the child is eventually going to drop off to sleep. But no mother is going to have the opportunity to do that when a flight attendant who is looking to be as famous as one of those flight attendants during 9/11.
Oh, my God. Margaret, those people died, okay?
Well, again, this is the, what I'm saying, this is the hero complex. She's going to jump in, she's going to keep this mother from doing what she needs to do, which is applying this behavioral modification slap and the fanning motion that Dr. Daigle talks about. And so everyone loves her, and they think she's the greatest thing since United 93. And meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of people that are not going to get any sleep. Because this child is going to go up front with the flight attendant and keep right on screaming.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. There's a lot of very, very interesting things you're talking about there, and I'm not familiar with a lot of them. Margaret's talking about mothers that fly with their children as infants. It's a rare group of people, but she says that slapping that child to keep it quiet or to quiet it down is not unusual. Here is Joyce in Norfolk, Virginia, listening on WTAR. Joyce, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray.
Oh, yes, Phil. Well, I just want to say to Margaret that I'm a child of the 60s. I was raised in the early 60s. And I'm a black woman, and we believe in chastising our children, spanking. But
absolutely.
One thing we never did.
Absolutely.
One thing that we never did.
I'm with you.
One thing that we never did was strike a child in the face. You can chastise a child by hitting them smacking them on the back of their hand, or even on the side, on their thigh. There's no reason to ever hit a child in their face.
Well, but you see, when you say you're a child of the 60s, I am too. But I have adhered to some of the more modern techniques that have been proven worthwhile. And all I'm saying is this. If I'm slapping my child across the face, what business is it of a flight attendant to come and remove my own child from my lap while I'm engaged in this behavior modification?
Well,
see what I'm saying?
For one thing, you shouldn't smack a child in the face. That is child abuse.
No. It's not a slap. It is a fanning motion. You're trying to get the face red. You're trying to get the child's face to a level of red.
You're slapping the child so the child's face is turning red. And I think what Joyce is asking, is this painful for the child?
Well, that's really not the question to ask. Is it beginning to normalize the nervous system of that child? That's the question. Is it painful? Perhaps. But is it normalizing?
The child can experience pain by being smacked on the back of his hand.
That's the best way to do it, though. You have to do the face because that's where the blood is. And when you slap the face repeatedly and you deepen the red of that hue, and
so, hold on, Margaret. A woman is looking at some chart of red.
That's correct.
And she's slapping a kid's face until it gets that red?
That is, first of all, Phil, I'm a mother. I love my child.
That sounds like
Joyce loves her child.
That sounds like sick pleasure.
I beg your pardon.
That is ridiculous.
I beg your pardon. I'm talking about trying to keep a kid quiet so other people can sleep. Otherwise, post 9/11, guess what, Joyce? We get put off the aircraft.
Well, I've never heard of anybody
why don't you just knock the kid out?
That's child abuse. That's brain damage right there. That's what you would have me do.
Damage
the child's brain? No. I'm afraid that what you need to do is understand the technique. And knocking a child out kills brain cells.
I think you have a problem.
I don't think so.
All right. I appreciate very much your call, ma'am. This is a controversial thing. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Because I really like that.
Well,
Margaret Gray back here with us.
But I just not to interrupt, Phil, but I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to get another band, I think. But those the three boys that played in the FreeCreditReport.com commercial have been fired. They're getting a new.
All right, I know, but I got to move on here, all right?
I understand.
All right. We're talking to Margaret Gray about the flight attendant that took a baby away from its mother. The mother was slapping the child. You say, Margaret, that this is a standard technique for a lot of women who fly with very, very young children, very, very young infants.
Let me put it to you this way, and I say this with the greatest of respect to the audience, but let me ask you a question. When you were a baby, do you remember being circumcised?
No, I do not.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So that when you are using this Daigle technique, which is the forehand, backhand, across a baby's face until the face turns a hue of red that indicates emotional equilibrium. What you're doing really is simply applying a technique. You're not punishing the child. I don't really know if the child feels pain. I doubt it.
There are a lot of people that say that the memory of the pain of circumcision stays with an individual, even though they don't remember it, that they've blotted it out. You know.
But the point is, if you've blotted it out, you don't remember the pain, so it doesn't. It hasn't stayed with you. If I'm slapping a baby across the face, and the alternative is having the aircraft land, having an air marshal come on board, and having myself and my infant son put off the aircraft because we have violated post 9/11 air rules, I think the choice is clear of any mother. You have to slap that kid's face until it shuts its mouth, and I
Well, but now it sounds to me like there's anger involved. See, that's what scares me.
No, there's no anger, Phil.
When you say you got to slap that kid's face till it shuts its mouth, it sounds like now there is an emotion involved. The emotion is anger. That scares me a little bit, and that's the only thing I'm concerned with. 877-876-PHIL. Hold on, Margaret. I want to get some phone calls in here. Let's talk to Lauren. Lauren, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. We're talking about the mother that slapped her infant on this Albuquerque-bound Southwest aircraft. Go ahead, Lauren.
I just want to say that I completely disagree with Margaret. I'm a mother of three children. I've traveled with my children before. And I think when you're traveling with a child, that you are concerned about the other people on the plane.
I'm having a hard time hearing the caller. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, your phone was breaking up a little, Lauren. Why don't you repeat that for us, okay?
Can you hear me now?
Very difficult. I can hear you now, dear. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I completely disagree with that. I think that when you're flying or traveling with a child, yes, you are concerned about some other people sleeping, but I think that there are other measures you can take before you slap the baby, particularly because a lot of people understand that that's what babies do. They cry, and, you know, with the pressure on the plane and everything, the baby's going to cry, and you know when you get on the plane that you're going to cry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have a right to neutralize that. And if those techniques you're talking about, I know the ones you're talking about, apple juice, getting the jaw moving, getting the inner ear moving. But when those fail, and then you have to go to the behavioral modification, where you're slapping the face repeatedly, and a flight attendant walks over and says, oh, I think I'd like my name in a newspaper tomorrow. I think I'll take your kid.
You don't think that was the flight attendant's thought process, do you?
I don't know. I don't know about these flight attendants, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think that the flight attendant should have interceded like that. However,
absolutely.
However, I totally disagree with slapping a baby in the face. I think you should get out some toys, try some milk, get up, walk around. you know, there are other things that you can do without slapping your child in the face.
Well, that, but you did that say really that, you did say that when push came to shove, you do agree with the face slapping. That's what I thought.
Well,
I thought I heard the lady say.
In moderation, I think that perhaps she might have done it just out of instinct because she was really, you know, in a pickle. But I don't think that an infant should be, maybe an older child.
Yeah.
I do agree
Well, one of the things, we're talking about this fanning motion where your arm is going in a circular, almost a windmill motion. Now, a lot of people get upset with that because they say, oh, my God, that sounds horrible. But no, it isn't. The infant's face is at the extent of your arm. You're windmilling your arm and slapping the face repeatedly.
Right.
And you're doing this probably anywhere from 20 to 30 times. Now, a lot of people...
20 to 30, you're slapping the kid 20 to 30 times?
That's a lot to me. That's a lot.
Really, is that compared to what? Compared to being kicked off the aircraft? I don't think so.
All right, well, let's get another phone call. Thank you very... Yeah, Lauren, go ahead, and then we've got to take another call.
Okay.
Go ahead, and then we have to take another call. Yeah, she's gone. All right. What, Margaret, what are you saying?
What do you mean, what am I saying?
You're saying you windmill the arm?
At a full extension, the arm windmills, yes. People hear that, and they say, oh, my God, what do you think you're doing? You're going to take the face. You're going to take the skin right off the face of that child. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know, it's very funny. Pete Townsend used to windmill the strings of his guitar. And I don't ever remember Pete Townsend wearing down the metal of a guitar string to the point where it snapped as the result of that.
Yeah, but he lost his fingertips.
I'm not talking about that.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Laura in Portland, Oregon. Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Thanks. I've been listening to this.
Yes.
And I'm a mother of two children, and I am appalled this woman is advocating this type of behavioral modification. First of all, if there's a 13-month-old child, you cannot reason with them. And yes, I suppose you could do a lot to a child
and
take them to change their behavior. But I don't advocate that. I think it's a terrible way to treat a child. You comfort
them. Well, you just said that you can't, you're not going to reason with the child, so you have to slap it. You're not going to reason with it.
You don't have to slap it. I never slapped my child. I can't believe that you would advocate that, especially with young mothers living.
Did you travel on aircraft? Did you travel on aircraft a lot with infants?
I did. And if you travel with
every
infants,
day?
Then you know that you go to the restroom and keep them in there, that you help ask and enlist other passengers to help you comfort
them. And if someone else wants to use the restroom, what do? You have to leave the restroom at some point.
You have the child there. There is not a circumstance that I can ever recall or ever envision that it would be okay to slap a 13-month-old child. That is still an infant. It's still a baby. I cannot believe that you would advocate that with young mothers listening.
I don't know when she came in on the conversation. I'm saying, if you've got a nervous husband sitting next to you, screaming at you to stop it, or he's afraid of flying or something, you've got passengers staring at you as if they're going to get up and throw you out of the plane. I mean, you've got a lot going on. And now what else? You've got this child. Using a windmilling motion with the hand, you can slap that kid.
Margaret, I'm sorry.
Pardon?
But your job as a mother is to put your child first. Your child becomes...
Absolutely.
Or your husband. Your child comes...
To a point.
After.
To a point.
And if you need help, then you ask for help.
I don't need help. That's the point I'm trying to make here. I've got passengers that are going to commit a violent act against me. I've got husband
ridiculous.
That is screaming.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't. No, I beg your pardon.
What country you live in? But if you live in the U.S.,
have you?
I can imagine the whole plane would go after somebody that was going after a mother with a child like that. That's ridiculous.
No. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Post 9/11. Now we have all. The world has changed since after 9/11. I understand what you're saying. We don't anticipate irregular behavior.
I don't think you do. You put that child first, and you care for that child. And if it requires that the plane lands because that child's in extreme distress and the pilot deems it necessary, well, then that's up to the pilot. But you do not.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that. I don't want to be put off that aircraft.
But that's not your primary concern. Your primary concern is caring for that child.
Is the child. Is the baby, yeah. And
Phil, let me ask you something. You're a husband, and since Laura's saying this, and all the men listening, I'd like to say one thing. How do you guys like... So here's Laura saying, you guys could have a heart attack and die.
No,
she's going to.
That's ridiculous.
Well, let me. If the baby is, if the baby's screaming so loud that your husband is already nervous from flying and he has a coronary, are you proud of yourself?
No, if that husband
wait a minute.
Nervous about flying, then you leave the baby at home.
Hold on. You've got a whole lot of things. You got a nervous husband. You got a baby that's crying. You know.
This is what a lot of women have to deal with: a nervous husband, the passengers that are ready to come out of their seats and make an example out of you and any woman that comes after you.
You don't slap the baby. You give the husband a cocktail, or you give the husband a Valium.
Well, I'm trying to get the child to shut up so that I can calm passengers, a husband, and yes. Help
your
that infant sleep.
To calm the passengers. That's the stewardess's job.
That's the stewardess's job.
Flight attendant's the term. But I will tell you, I understand what you're saying, but you're saying, in a perfect world, I've got a Valium. In a perfect world,
no.
I have this, and I have that. I don't have those things. All I have is my hand. I have my hand. I have the
then
kid.
You pat that baby.
And I've got a problem, and I've got to slap it.
I've got to slap it until it's ridiculous.
All right.
The idea
I've got to slap it till it shuts up.
Mother?
No, that Margaret, we're talking about the well-being of a lot of people. Thank you very much for your call, Laura. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. I think you misunderstood.
No, I didn't misunderstand. She said the husband comes second, the passengers come second. How do you like the gall?
Well, what, Margaret?
That is the first time I've ever heard a woman have the. I got to tell you something. I admire that. That's a woman that has the honesty to say that you men out there, you fathers, you husbands, you can die and you can fall on the floor and turn blue. She's not going to apply the Daigle method. She's not going to get out the behavioral hue chart. She's going to let the kid scream and spit. To my way of thinking, Phil, I don't live like that. I wasn't brought up that way.
Well, Margaret, okay, I have to admire you. You want to calm the husband down, you want to calm the crowd down, and then the baby comes last.
The baby doesn't come last. I'm calming him down, I'm calming the audio, the crowd, the passengers.
Right.
And yes, and then I apply the Daigle-Hue modification. I slap in that windmill fashion. And that's the other thing, you have to stand up to do that. And I don't think a lot of people are understanding, being a mother traveling with a child, standing up, using that windmill motion to slap that child, and really you do get emotional. You are saying to yourself, you're saying, and to anyone that will listen, you're saying, would you please shut it up? Shut your mouth. It is very emotional.
All right. 877. The more I hear about this Daigle modification, though, here is Susan. Go ahead, Susan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Susan? Oh, I didn't even. Sorry, Susan. There she is. Go ahead, Susan.
I just wanted to say that I completely disagree with what Margaret is saying. I'm a mother of a 3-year-old and a 15-month-old, and slapping
a child. You travel with them?
I have traveled, not on a plane, but I've been in enclosed spaces with them. And honestly, if they're distressed, I think slapping a child in any situation is only going to escalate how that child feels. It's not going to calm them down. It's not going to make them feel better. I mean, distraction, seeing a
child. But
song,
you haven't traveled with them.
Something. Doing something a little
right.
bit different that's in a more positive manner, I think, would be a better solution than slapping a child. And not only that, but who's to say that this passenger even knew about the Daigle method? I've read multiple parent books over my, course of being a mother for 3 years. I've read baby books, and I've never heard of this method before. So I can guarantee
I said, do you travel? Do you? Yes, dear, but do you fly? I asked you, do you fly with your children regularly? You said, no. This is something that mothers that fly regularly with their.
I've never flown with my kids, but I've been in situations where my kids have been, in distress or acting in a way that other people probably wouldn't appreciate. And, of course, when you're in a closed space, you are mindful of those things. But I don't think in any situation, whether you're on a plane, a bus, a train, in a car, in a mall, slapping a child, especially that young, is going to do anything beneficial but just make the child more upset and thus more angry.
Let me tell you about my sister. Let me tell you about my sister, Irene. My sister Irene and I were traveling. Now, her daughter is the same age as my son. We were traveling with her daughter. She adheres to your method, which is to sing a song. She started to sing to her daughter, and I don't know, it was the most embarrassing thing you'd ever heard in your life. You wanted to, she was my own sister, and I wanted to knock her out. Do you know what that's like?
That, though. It's not about that, though. It's about calming the child down to relax
what are you talking about?
For the baby. It's about soothing a child.
If she has a voice that is even more disturbing than the baby.
Oh, no, I can't sing to save my life, but you know what? If it came down to my child, I would sing in front of a million people if it would calm my child down to make them happy.
And what if it made people even more irritated listening to you than hearing your child sing? Yeah, that would
you know what? I think people would rather listen to someone sing than a child scream personally. Not only that, but you could whisper in your child's ear. Just whisper in the ear.
I try to back
and whisper in their ear.
What are you saying, Margaret? You're saying your sister Irene sang so poorly?
It was. Phil, I understand the well-being of children, and I do agree very, very much with Susan. But my sister Irene was singing. Her voice is so bad. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm singing to my daughter." And I said, "No, you're not. You're going to stop before they put us off this aircraft. Before an air marshal walks up to us."
A better mother would sing to their child and relax their child that way and not be afraid of what other people thought about her voice versus slapping their child in public. And not only that, but slapping their child on an airplane, that's only going to make the child more upset. A mother who has the guts to sing out to their child in public is a true mother, first and foremost.
And even if it attracts the attention of an air marshal, your voice is so bad.
Wait a minute.
The air marshal is going to come up to you more if you're slapping your kid than if you're singing.
No. You haven't flown as much as me. If you're singing, and you're very lovely, Susan, you sound precious, but I can tell with your accent, you have a very northeastern accent, you probably have a bad voice. I have a good voice because I sang professionally. My sister,
your child doesn't care about that.
Did you see Reservoir Dogs? Did you see that poor police officer get his ear cut off?
All right. You know what? I don't want to go into that. Thank you very, very much, Susan. Yeah, thank you for your call.
No, there was a scene in that film that poor policeman got his ear cut off. When I heard my sister sing, I wanted to be him. And I don't think I've ever felt that before in my life. Never before in my life have I felt something like that. I wanted to be him. So what I'm saying is the following. I have a beautiful voice. If I could sing to my son and calm him down, I would do that. I couldn't. My son, Jason J. Delmonico, demanded, even as a child, the very, very best. So even if I sang something, I'll give an example right now.
Well, we got to take a break, okay?
Let me give you an example. If I sang something like, the Copacabana, he would never stop screaming. The screaming would never end.
All right, Margaret Gray with us, and we talk about the woman that was slapping her baby on the plane, and she is saying that many mothers engage in what's called the Daigle technique, which is to slap a baby repeatedly because it is behavioral modification. So that flight attendant didn't understand that. The flight attendant took that infant away. The flight attendant is now a big hero in much the same way that Steven Slater was, and in 24 hours we're going to find out that the flight attendant maybe wasn't such a hero, that maybe she was, in Margaret's mind, trying to be some big 9/11 hero. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Do you slap your kid to keep your child quiet on an aircraft? 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show here. Now, Margaret, I know that we've been talking here. You have the song here. What is this thing called?
Now, here's a lullaby. You can sing this to Charlie. You can sing this. Did Bud put it on?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I hear it. All right. Now, this is leaving on a jet plane. Bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing. You know, I never liked the way she sang this.
It's Mary Travers.
Yeah, I know who it is. I think she treated this song all wrong, but this is a lullaby for a child. Early morning. You fade the microphone in and out like this. See? Already I'm so lonesome. Still, do you see them cry?
Well, now I...
We you get out of here with that? What is that supposed to mean?
I went into a... Oh, my God. You've never heard of a baseline.
A baseline? Well, now I...
Now I've got to do it all over again. Phil, I don't tell you how to do a bad radio show. Don't tell me how to sing...
Badly?
No. Gooder. I didn't even say that. Here we go.
Sing this to a baby.
No, you sing it to the captain. God, what an it's a song on.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Door. Already I'm so lonesome. See, she's butchering it. Goodbye. Well, you know what? At this point, this is what I do to the kid. Throw it down some stairs. Here. Bye, baby. Bye.
So kiss me and smile for me.
Tell bye, baby.
That you wait for me. Hold me like you.
Ooh, baby go boom.
What an animal.
Phil and...
Nice boardwalk.